I think Bernie Sanders is a good candidate for president of Sweden. We don't want to be Sweden. We want to be the United States of America.
Clinton reaches his right hand toward a pocket on the left inside portion of his jacket.
Hillary Clinton will do anything to gain and hang on to power. Anything. Listen, if my husband did what Bill Clinton did, I would have left him long ago.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:09. Today is Friday. It's January 29th, 2016. Welcome to the program. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about Walmart and their leaving communities as they trim their budgets, the impact it's having on places like Chicago and elsewhere across the country later in the program. Also, how is your interpersonal skills at work? How are your interpersonal skills at work affecting your business and possibly getting ahead in your company? That is Kate Ward we'll have momentarily here on The Opening Bell. But first of all, let's find out what's going on around the world as your daily intel begins on the markets overseas. Last night, the Asian markets all were higher for a change. The Nikkei up 477 at this point, the Hang Seng up 487, the Shanghai up 82, and the Sensex up 401. Dow futures in the U.S. are trading higher as well, indicating what could be an opening higher later today on Wall Street when the opening bell rings. Dow futures up 110 right now. The S&P futures are up 14 points. So oil is trading above $30 a barrel still. It is flat this morning, but its last number was 33.25 per barrel. Later today on the economy, major businesses, economic events scheduled today. The Commerce Department releases fourth quarter gross domestic product. That'll happen at 7:30 Chicago time. Then the Commerce Department releases the international trade data for December. That's coming up at 7:30 as well. A couple of earnings reports out today. AbbVie Inc. is going to report earnings before the market opens. American Airlines is also going to report their earnings before the market opens this morning. We'll be watching closely for American Airlines earnings to see how they did in the last quarter of the year. Microsoft's campaign to promote Windows 10 is part of a strategy that analysts credit with contributing to the early stages of a financial turnaround, not just for that company, but for also other software companies. We'll be waiting to see how Microsoft does in the final quarter of the year, specifically what they're doing in terms of PCs and how they're doing in terms of getting their software on PCs. Also today, the Bank of Japan introduced a negative interest policy in a move to boost a stumbling recovery in the world's third largest economy. The central bank says it's imposing a small percent fee on some deposits left with the central bank, effectively a negative interest rate. That could be what's fueling some of the Asian markets this morning, some of them higher by triple digits. That, again, is the Intel report from the world markets this morning. So our first guest today is Kate Ward. She is a noted author and the author of Personality Style at Work. And her area of expertise is how interpersonal conflicts in the workplace keep businesses and keep you from moving ahead. Kate Ward is with us via Skype this morning. Kate, welcome to The Opening Bell. I guess, you know, the first question I have for you is what would be your top advice for people in the workplace as they start the new year?
Well, you know, if you're really making a resolution and serious about it, I think my top advice would be to actually try to connect better with your coworkers and instead of wanting things your own way always, to really try to figure out what their preferences are in communication styles and working styles and try to reach out and meet those.
These conflicts at work can be costly in a number of ways, can't they?
Yeah. You know, it's a lot more than just an irritation of, you know, coming home from work and saying, you know, that guy bugged me today. You know, it's estimated that 85% of employees experience interpersonal conflict at work all the time. And what I think is even more alarming is that managers report spending up to 30% of their time dealing with conflict. So that's a you know, a huge time waster and loss of productivity.
You've designed something called Personality Style at Work. Give us an idea of what that is.
Well, that's a personality style model that I work with, and it's based on understanding people in terms of two dimensions. One is assertiveness, which is basically the degree to which you want to influence and control other people. And then the other dimension is expressiveness, which is the degree to which you're willing to share your feelings. So, for example, if somebody's really high on the assertiveness dimension and they're working with somebody who's really low, they may experience conflict because the person who's really high may be frustrated by what they perceive as sort of a lack of initiative with the person who's low on the assertiveness dimension, and then vice versa, the person who's low may feel like the person who's really high is always trying to tell them what to do and will never listen to their ideas and that kind of thing. And then you get a sort of personality conflict starting to mix into performance issues, and then you really have some big problems.
We're talking with Kate Ward, Personality Style at Work author. We'll continue our discussion in the next segment. And the question is, does this impact women more than it does men? Is this affecting everybody in the workplace? That's coming up on the opening bell. Our discussion with Kate Ward continues. But right now, let's find out how the roads are moving this morning. Watching traffic, here's Mary Vandeville.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. U.S. stocks closed higher yesterday on hopes for an oil production cut and gains in tech stocks. The Dow's climbed 125 points to 1669. The S&P 500 picked up 10.5 points. The NASDAQ composite rose 38. Microsoft's aggressive campaign to promote Windows 10 appears to be paying off. The software has been deployed on more than 200 million devices since its release. Analysts say that could help Microsoft to a financial turnaround. The dark side of world demand for technology. A South Korean court says exposure to carcinogens at a Samsung chip factory caused a worker's ovarian cancer. The woman died in 2012 after battling the illness for years. The court held that her 6 years on an assembly line at Samsung caused her cancer. A computer expert's been sentenced to 2 years probation for helping to send millions of spam messages that allowed computer marketers to illegally harvest your email address and phone number. 27-year-old Naveed Ahmed of Tampa could have gone to prison for 2 years. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
We're back with our discussion with author Kate Ward, who's an expert on your personality and also your style in the workplace and interpersonal relationships. We've been talking about the conflicts at work that can be costly to you and your company in a number of ways. Kate is with us on Skype this morning. Kate, is this more about women or men in the workplace, or does it affect both sexes equally?
Yeah. You know, it's a mix of everything. I have worked in a company where we were all women and we all got along great, and we had very little of this kind of issue. I think it's most significant between a manager and employee, just because that's a power-based relationship. And of course, the manager has some naturally built-in power. And so I think that's where, if you're going to really pay attention first, that might be the place to start.
You talked about the cost of this. What is the dollar cost of all of this interpersonal conflict?
Yeah, one estimate is that we spend lose $359 billion annually in lost productivity due to just, relationship conflict at work. And then, people leave jobs a lot of times because they just don't like the work environment. Doesn't have anything to do with the work itself. So then you have the cost of replacing and recruiting. And, if somebody actually went to litigation over a conflict, you'd have that cost. And so, I think it's really in the interest of hiring people to kind of think about this as you're putting your teams together.
And so what would your final advice be to people?
Well, I think one thing I want to get across is that there's no better or worse personalities. I mean, we are all who we are. I think it's just sort of recognizing what your own strengths and shortcomings are and just trying to leverage your strengths. And again, the other piece of it is recognizing the personalities of the people that you're dealing with, whether it's, somebody you're interviewing with, or your new boss or whatever, really trying to figure out what their personality style is and just kind of just kind of stretch yours and flex a little bit and reach out to be more like the person that you're working with, to just try to minimize some of these conflicts that are really due more to communication, misunderstanding, or superficial differences.
Kate Ward is the author of Personality Style at Work. You can still find her book on Amazon, and online you can find some of the work that she does with many companies across the country. But her work is still very alive and well. Again, Personality Style at Work. Kate Ward, you heard her dog, Mary Sandberg, our producer of The Opening Bells, with us now. You heard her dog bark there in the background a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. He contributed to the interview.
Yes. And I joked with her after, you know, as we were setting this up, because I heard her dog as barking as well. I said, this is the best interpersonal relationship you can have. There are no conflicts you could possibly have with your dog.
That's true. And right. I believe your dog, Murrow, joined us on a first conference call when
yeah.
I met you.
Yeah. Yeah. He was barking in the background. And so that, you know, it kind of brings up something I wanted to bring you in on, Mary, as new employees here at WGN. You know, we have sort of an extra hurdle to climb because we're getting to know people and these, personality conflicts as they develop or not develop. I mean, we're walking through like a minefield, aren't we?
We are. There's it's a little bit of a good old boys club, mm-hmm. and we're joining it as newbies.
A lot of people are starting new jobs, too, around the new year, and Kate's advice is just sort of try to blend in as much as you can and avoid these conflicts. What do you see would be, like, among our biggest challenges going forward?
That people have been together for a long time, and so it's hard to break into inner circles, but I agree it's best just to say, okay, I'm going with their flow mm-hmm. before presenting something, you know, combative.
$359 billion annually was the cost on that. That, I think, surprised me the most.
Yeah, it's a huge number, and I can see it, though. I mean, we all know people that have an issue with somebody at work, and the mental drain, the financial drain, it's just huge.
Well, we were talking earlier before the show. Mary is actually going to be off on Monday. We're getting to the point now where we feel comfortable taking a little time away. And so, but I you were talking about packing, and you have this problem with packing, and I came up with a great app while you were doing
it. You did, yeah. We have to give our friend Scott Catoon a call at 1871.
And the app is somebody, it's, first of all, gives you the information of where you're going. Like you said,
I'm going to the NHL All-Star game, so I need to input. I'm going to be in Nashville for mm-hmm. 3 days. I'm going to have 3 dinners and 2 sporting events.
And so the app then chokes back to you what the weather's going to be like, what the restaurant is going to be like, so you know what to wear mm-hmm. and what to pack. And then it also kind of maybe streamlines your packing effort and say,
right.
listen,
and they say only 2 pairs of jeans, only 3 pairs of shoes instead of 7, which I have laid out. I went, pack for me. That's what they should call it. So.
Because you, like me, it's the worst part of travel is packing. I can't do it.
Yes, and the amount I pay in baggage fees is astronomical. So,
well, have a good trip, Mary. And anybody can have that app. It's yours free this morning. And you can maybe talk to Scott Catoon over at 1871 to get you some financing and startup money for that. It's 5:25 here on The Opening Bell. Still ahead, we're going to talk with Ryan Burrow of WGN about Walmart's closing and the impact it's having not only on Chicago, but especially on some smaller communities across the country. He's going to join us a little later in The Opening Bell. And also coming up, we're going to have a conversation about McDonald's. And when McDonald's listens to its customers, good things tend to happen. We're going to talk to one of the writers for the Washington Post, Roberto Friedman, who's written about McDonald's and where they're going and where they're heading these days. There's been some big changes under the Golden Arches. That's coming up on The Opening Bell. And still ahead in news, a Chicago police officer is due in court this morning. Vic's going to have that. Right now, it's 5:26 on The Opening
From
Bell.
ABC News Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, using technology to make sure your garden gets just the right amount of water. Many of us overwater our lawns and gardens and don't even realize we're doing it. Jason Aramburu developed the Eden System, a water sensor already on the market, and a water valve to control irrigation that'll be available soon in Home Depot stores.
The sensor constantly monitors this environment, and it tracks your soil moisture, nutrition, ambient temperature, ambient humidity, and ambient light.
You stick it in the soil, and it basically tells you everything going on with your garden. But until now, you've had to take that information and figure out your own watering. That's where the valve comes in. It does the watering for you.
Our Eden water valve is actually a smart irrigation controller that connects to your existing irrigation system.
He claims the system can save a user 40% on water. Eden installs with above ground systems only. Price-wise, the sensor is $99. A valve will be $69. With Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, ABC News.
This is the opening bell on WGN. Market futures are higher this morning. The Dow futures are up 109 points. The S&P futures are up 13. Price of oil trading at $33 a barrel. In Asia, all of the markets overnight were in positive territory after a decision by the Bank of Japan on interest rates that basically keeps interest rates flat. The Nikkei up 477 points. The Hang Seng up 487. We'll keep watching the global markets throughout the morning, but it looks like we might have a good start to Wall Street for this Friday. That's all coming up. And the opening bell will continue. In our next segment, we'll talk about Walmart and the impact some of its closures are having on communities. That'll be in our next segment after the news here on WGN. And Vic Vaughn is standing by with that. Vic, good morning.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:36. Welcome back to the program. McDonald's seems to be going down the straight and narrow with decent sales, and they can thank the all-day breakfast for that. You remember hearing their earnings from earlier in the week. Roberto Ferdman is a writer at the Washington Post, at Rob Ferdman on Twitter. He's with us on the opening bell this morning. Good morning, Rob. How are you? Roberto, how are you?
I'm doing well, just starting my day here. Yeah. How are you doing?
Doing well. Are you going to be starting it with McDonald's this morning, as most people will be?
I don't believe that I'll be starting with McDonald's. There's not a McDonald's near me.
Well, that's the point I guess I'm trying to make is that a lot of people are. They love McDonald's breakfast, and that seems to be pulling McDonald's back up from some of the losses that it was seeing and some of the consumer losses in terms of customers not being so happy, right?
Well, that's right. Part of the benefit of there not being a McDonald's near me right now, if I were to want their breakfast, is that I can have it at any point of the day. And that's something that McDonald's started offering last October. And it's no coincidence that the earnings that they reported early in the week were strong and were for the 3 months that began in October. So October, November, and December. And this is kind of what I called what happens when McDonald's listens to customers. Essentially, customers have been clamoring for a long time for them to serve breakfast beyond the 10:30 a.m. window, which is when they usually stopped it, or historically have stopped serving breakfast. And the thing is that McDonald's has also struggled. So while telling customers they couldn't serve breakfast beyond that time window, for good reasons, mind you, there are a lot of infrastructural reasons why it's difficult to serve their breakfast menu and then their other menu at the same time. But they were having trouble, and since they introduced this all-day breakfast, people have gone back. Now, it kind of remains to be seen whether people will continue to go, or this is an initial, or this is due to initial excitement about the breakfast. But the mood is better at McDonald's than it's been in over 2 years.
Do you get a sense that McDonald's is willing to listen on a number of fronts from customers, not just breakfast?
I think that there's a sense that the new CEO, Easterbrook, who took over in March, is more willing to listen to customers and is more willing to change things at McDonald's. I mean, he already has. He's made promises that include switching to cage-free eggs, switching to hormone-free chicken. He's increased worker wages. He's basically engaged with a lot of issues including all the breakfast that the previous CEO, Thompson, had not. There is a sense that McDonald's is, I think, listening to a lot of things, and one of them are its customers more than it has in the past.
What landmines do you think are in the path going forward for McDonald's?
Well, McDonald's is facing a lot of trends that kind of rub up against it. The best example of this is how successful the fast casual sector has been. Now, the fast casual, which is kind of a nebulous term, essentially means new fast food companies that are like Chipotle or like Panera or like Shake Shack that offer fast food, but of what is perceived to be and often is higher quality. They often offer more food that people can feel good about, whether it's because it's better sourced or more thoughtfully sourced, whether it's because they have animal welfare standards, the stores tend to be a little bit more modern and clean. There's attention to detail. Anyway, these have done very, very well. And McDonald's doesn't really represent these things. And McDonald's actually tried to change its business model so that it would fit this mold better. But the problem is that McDonald's doesn't really serve that purpose in people's minds. And it kind of created this problem. So this could be a problem going forward. Or what could happen is that McDonald's will settle into its place in the American fast food scene. And it won't be a problem because the same people who are going to, Chipotle won't go to McDonald's, or, you know, they just won't serve the same purpose in people's minds.
We're chatting with Roberto Ferdman of The Washington Post. You can find his latest story about McDonald's online on Twitter. Rob Ferdman is his handle. In your story, Roberto, you're right. The real test is going to be, you know, what the rest of this year holds for McDonald's. Whether or not this all-day breakfast thing is going to be tops in people's minds. What else could we see? Because we see them testing overseas with, you know, in different markets with different kinds of food things, different entree items. Is that something, too, that we'll see more testing and more reaching out by McDonald's to try new items on their menu?
Well, McDonald's has been very good at serving region-specific food. So they serve food specific to India and India, food specific to China and China, food specific to different parts of the U.S. And then they introduce these cult products like the McRib, which I'm sure most people have heard of, if not had. I'm not convinced, though, that they'll introduce these nationwide or anything like that. In fact, it seems like they might be moving away from that direction and doubling down on some of their staples. The expansion of all-day breakfast is an example of that. They might, for lack of a better word, beef up their hamburger offerings. In fact, there's a new type of McDonald's that they introduced, I believe in Japan or somewhere in Asia, that is much fancier. The restaurant is much more modern, and it's kind of more burger-centric. So it's possible we might see, not this year necessarily, but down the road, a rendition of McDonald's that is even more focused on its hamburger offerings. So essentially, I think we might see the opposite. We might see a doubling down on the staples that people go to McDonald's and buy most often.
I heard somebody tell me recently that they heard McDonald's was trying out chocolate on fries, French fries, in some market somewhere. That kind of stuff, right?
Right. I think that's region specific. I can't remember what that was, but I thought that as well. I don't think that I personally would order that.
Yeah.
And I'm not convinced that people here would, but who knows?
Yeah. And where you talk about the doubling down on what their core business, somebody else mentioned to me too, do you think it might be that they will serve their quarter pounders all day long, that they may switch from cutting that off at, 10:30 now? I think you can't order that before 10:30, just serving all day burgers and fries.
I think that that's a totally reasonable proposition for something that we might see for McDonald's. The reason why they're doubling down I believe that they're going to continue to double down on their staples is because they did the opposite over the past 3 years, and it really backfired. They introduced salads, they introduced wraps, they introduced all sorts of different food offerings that rubbed up against what people actually went to McDonald's for. And what it created, I think, was this tension between what people actually wanted from McDonald's and what they felt like maybe they should order when they went there. I don't know if that's why traffic and sales fell for 13 straight quarters, which is remarkable. But it certainly contributed to it.
Do you see the CEO being given a long leash here, considering how their earnings turned out this week?
Certainly. I mean, it's important to not overreact to the first quarter in almost 2 years in which McDonald's has reported a same-store sale increase, which means an increase in sales at stores that have been open for over a year. It's an important metric because essentially, how are stores doing that people know about? But Easterbrook has been given a pretty loose leash so far. We can see that in the things that he's already pushed forth in his short time atop McDonald's. I think that if over the next quarter or two or even three, essentially by the end of this year, if things are going swimmingly as they have in the first quarter, his ability to make decisions, sometimes draft decisions that Thompson didn't make in the past, will only increase.
Roberto Ferdman is a writer for The Washington Post. Again, you can find him on Twitter at Rob Ferdman. And Rob, thank you for being on the opening bell this morning, and we look forward to chatting with you in the future on the opening bell.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
McDonald's, by the way, trading up yesterday. The MCD is their handle on the New York Stock Exchange. They were up about $1.50 yesterday for about a point and a quarter percent increase in their stock value. We will be back on the opening bell with more. Right now, let's check traffic. Here's Mary Vandeville.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:49. Welcome back. Walmart has announced it's closing a number of stores, especially Walmart Express stores across the country, two of them in Chicago. And in some parts of the country, that's causing a lot of problems in places where mom and pop stores had disappeared and Walmart was the only place people could go shop. WGN's Ryan Burrow has been reporting on this week, and he's with us on the opening bell today. Ryan, what is the situation in some of these communities where Walmart is pulling out?
Yeah, let's start with Chicago first. We're going to be losing two here, two Walmart Expresses. These are both on the north side, so these aren't exactly the ones that we consider sometimes to be in food deserts or ones that the city really tries to land. I don't think the community will be too impacted here in Chicago. One's on LaSalle, one's on Broadway. There are plenty of Walgreens and Jewel Osco's to go around. So, some people may lose their jobs. I get that. But on the other hand, too, I don't think it'll really hurt the market as far as how people are able to go and purchase goods. Now, where we see the problem is in some of these more rural cities. Oriental North Carolina, for example, a community of 900 people, about 30% of the community is over 70 years old. Now, when Walmart Express moved in about 3 years ago, 2 to 3 years ago, it really hurt the economy of the area in that mom and pop stores, the grocery store, the pharmacy, a local sandwich shop, all left or had to shutter their doors. They had to close down. And now with Walmart Express leaving, there's no option for these people who now have to travel somewhere between 12, 15 miles to get their pharmaceuticals, to get their groceries.
Now, is Walmart trying to focus on one of its portions of its business rather than the other?
Yeah, we got to flash back to the Great Recession. Walmart was actually doing very well because a lot of the people decided to go to the superstore because they could get their fruits and vegetables cheaper. They could get their clothes cheaper. And Walmart saw this as an opportunity. Why don't we move into some of these communities, whether it be rural or maybe some of the urban communities we couldn't get superstores into? So that was the idea, but it didn't really work out as a great business model for them. They weren't generating the kind of revenue that they had hoped that they would. That's why we're seeing the 102 closings of these stores here. And, as a result, they've decided to cut these, and they want to focus more on the superstores, which are still doing really well, as well as online. We've seen a lot of department stores do that. Macy's, Sears, JCPenney, they've all focused on this, online sales and this new kind of booming industry for them.
For some of these towns like Oriental, North Carolina, that you mentioned, the people there must be bitter over this, because when you see your mom and pop stores go for Walmart and now you're left with nothing, that really is a bitter pill to swallow, isn't it?
Well, we've seen it here in Chicago, and in the area, how angry a lot of these city council meetings have gotten, how frustrated people are that the big box retailers are moving in because they think it'll cost jobs in those mom and pop markets. It's always a battle, jobs versus reputation and community feel. And in this one, it was not very successful in Oriental, and as well as probably 100 other communities, most of these being very rural in states like Arkansas, North Carolina, Georgia, Texas. That's where we're seeing a majority of these Walmart Expresses going down.
One might imagine that with the exit of Walmart, there leaves a vacuum there for somebody to fill. Is it possible that some of these mom and pops could come back?
It's quite possible, and I think most of these communities hope that that's the case. And you just hope that the damage hasn't been done. Every community is going to be different. We don't exactly know what filled the buildings when the mom and pop stores left. hopefully people and entrepreneurs will be listening and looking at this news story and saying, hey, here's an opportunity to bring a grocery store back into these communities.
WGN's Ryan Burrow with us on the opening bell this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Here are some other stories making news this morning in the business world on the opening bell. General Motors and two dealers groups have settled complaints from the Federal Trade Commission that they touted the safety of used cars in advertising, yet sold the cars without making any recall repairs. The agency says Kim Jun's management, Lithia Motors, and GM were named in administrative complaints. Under the deal, the companies can't claim that used vehicles are safe unless recall repairs are made or recalls are disclosed. They also have to notify people who bought the cars with open recalls after July 2013. California regulators deciding how to permit the future rollout of self-driving cars have been told by consumer advocates that their cautious approach is right on, and by companies developing the technology that the current course will delay the deployment of vehicles that promise huge safety benefits. The state's Department of Motor Vehicles heard the comments at a workshop yesterday as it wrestles with how to keep the public safe as the imperfect technology matures, but not regulate so heavily that the agency stifles development of these vehicles. The agency sought suggestions of possible changes to a draft precedent-setting regulations it released last month. Those regulations will govern how Californians get cars once companies move beyond their current testing of prototypes. Also, a computer expert has been sentenced to 2 years probation for helping send millions of spam messages that allowed computer marketers to illegally harvest email addresses and phone numbers. 27-year-old Naveed Ahmed, of Tampa Bay, faced at least 2 years in prison under the sentencing guidelines, but a senior judge in Pittsburgh imposed only probation. The defense attorney in the case says that a man of considerable intelligence was unfortunately succumbed to directing those talents the wrong way in this case. His sentence will allow Ahmed to work with computers that will be monitored by federal probation officers and perhaps give law enforcement some insight into how this all unfolded and maybe prevent spam in the future. Again, back to the markets this morning. The Dow futures are higher, up about 8 points this morning. The NASDAQ, S&P futures, rather, are up about 12. The Dow futures now up 104 points, I should say. All the Asian markets higher overnight. The Hang Seng up 487. The Nikkei up 477. The price of oil this morning is trading at $33.19. We'll keep an eye on your money and the markets throughout the morning on the Steve Cochran Show here on WGN. And that's the opening bell for this Friday. Our producer is Mary Sandberg, our engineer, Bob Ferguson, and thanks to Ross Cochran for production help this morning. And thanks to you for listening. We'll be back bright and early Monday morning. Hopefully you'll tune in for us then at 5 o'clock Monday, the opening bell here on WGN. Again, Steve Cochran is next. Stay with us. It's 5:56.